Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Kiwi, no, Kiwi was like, I want in. Sing.
Kiwi always wants in. I think the music's already been playing. I think we're into the show.
Oh, we are?
I think so. Are we?
How's it?
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Jimmy Wong, and you are listening to The Command Zone, your premier destination for all things Commander. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
I want to talk. Hey, everybody out there. How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And this is Craig Blanchett.
Ooh, what's up, Craig?
Just
welcome.
Chilling.
Yeah,
just hanging out.
We should let
we
everyone
have our
know.
Third co-host, Craig Blanchett, here with us today.
Our honorary co-host. That's
for
right.
For the 36th time.
We do bring you in a lot, Craig. That's because you're our favorite.
Thanks, guys.
And also because today we are talking about
Craig's favorite thing in the whole wide world.
In fact.
Chocolate? Oh, infect.
Chocolate,
yes,
infect.
Yes.
No,
chocolate infect.
I want to get chocolate infected.
Yes. It's like a Willy Wonka curse. That's
We've
right.
had a lot of people ask specifically about Craig's infect decks. Mm-hmm. So we're finally going to tackle one on the show. And Jimmy.
Yeah, we're doing it.
I can't believe we're encouraging people to play infect.
You know, we'll talk about the politics of infect in a bit, but you're right. I can't believe we're doing this either. We are putting this out into the world, everybody.
I just want to know, but by putting this out into the world, that doesn't mean I'm endorsing it. Like, you know, at the end of political commercials, how it says, I'm so-and-so,
yeah.
and I support this message? You're not going to hear the, I'm Josh Lee Kwai, and I support this message at the end of this.
You will not.
Yeah.
In fact, we're all just cringing the entire time because we're going to talk about infect.
Craig's
you know
not
what?
Cringing
I'm,
at all.
I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. I support this message now.
So yeah, today we are talking about infect, but first we have a couple things to cover in our upkeep. We are on YouTube, and that means that we have videos for every single one of these podcasts, courtesy of our amazing editor, Eli, and we would love it if you subscribe to the channel so you can get updates as to when we post our new videos. It's also a great way to follow along for an episode like this one, or any kind of deck text or deck doctoring, because we get to put up images of the card as we talk about them. They sit there, you can read the card, you can look at the art, and you don't have to remember what the card is when we're talking about it or when we mention it later on, because we show the card almost always when we talk about it. It's a great way to ingest our content if you're not on the road, if you don't listen to your podcast in a place where you're...
Yeah, don't listen to it. Don't watch it when you're in your car.
Yeah, definitely
just
not do that.
Just listen to it if you're in your car, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's great. I'd say put it on your second monitor when you're working, because we also have lots of cool animations. It looks really pretty. And you can subscribe to us now, join the other 2,500 people or so that have subscribed to us so far, which is awesome.
Hopefully by the time that you're listening slash watching this, that's way more than that.
Yeah. In fact, you could be listening to this like a year from now, because it's the only episode we're ever going to do on Infect. Just
hey,
kidding.
No.
Craig's like, wait,
no,
why are we
guys,
recording?
No, guys, there's
two?
More.
Yeah, guys, wait. I'm gonna.
We're
wait,
only
let me
doing
get,
two of the colors right now.
Let me get the other decks out, please.
If you haven't heard the other episodes with Craig, we often talk about this, but Craig has, how many is it now? How many Infect decks?
I have 6 Infect decks.
Used to be more, though, right?
It did used to be more. I had 8, and then I was like, I don't even play these ever unless I'm playing one-on-one, and you don't need 8 to do one-on-one. So
yeah. I might as well cut down to 6 Infect EDH decks. That's more decks than most people just have, period.
In general,
this is
yeah.
true. I thought that Phyrexia needed a representation. So.
Oh, boy.
6 times.
Yeah.
But not to mention, actually, these decks are cheap. They are not expensive decks.
I think
build,
that's
correct?
Really the reason why I did it, because it's one of those.
The murder trial happens.
That's a lie.
That's why I did it.
That's a lie. That's not why you did it. You have like 40 decks.
25.
Yeah, that was cut down as well. Come on, Josh. Get with the times.
My bad.
That's true. But they're you know, under $200, and you know, a lot of them are foiled out for under $200, and you know, I just had a lot of them from opening up, you know, new Phyrexia and things like that when
a lot of cards
out.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you just have a lot of Ichor Claw mirrors and, you know, things that that are fun.
Well, that's one of the great things about the game too, is that you can have these things that are sort of your cards, the things
yeah.
that speak to you. You know, Jimmy plays red. He loves putting Kiki Jiki in every deck. I'm a blue player. I like a lot of card draw shenanigans. You're an infect guy, and that's your way that the game speaks to you, and there's a lot of different ways, and so this is just another thing to try out, and maybe you'll find that Hopefully not, but maybe you'll find that this is the way you like to play the game.
Yeah. I do have to say, Infect is one of the hardest decks to play Commander, just because it's so inconsistent, and you turn yourself into the target immediately. So, you know, it's a tough,
double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is a very double-edged sword. Yeah. You know, in Modern and Standard, I guess not Standard, but Modern and Legacy, it can be a viable tactic, but in EDH, it's pretty tough to pull off.
Well, you're almost always going to get rid of at least one person. It's right. just very hard to get rid of two or three additional people.
Exactly. Yeah. And one-on-one play, in fact, it's almost unbeatable. It's pretty quick in one-on-one battles. But you're right. As soon as you add like three, four players on, it's pretty stacked against you.
Indeed, it is. And so the deck that we're going to talk about today is based around maybe one of the... I mean, she does have the Phyrexia symbol in her text. It is Glissa the Traitor.
I think they actually did have her in mind for Commander for Infect when they made this.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. I mean, there are a lot of Infect or Proliferate artifacts, as well as a lot of equipment that can be made useful with her.
Right.
That you can kind of get back if anybody happens to destroy them. So, I don't know.
You want to read her, Jimmy?
Yeah. So Glissa the Traitor doesn't actually have Infect herself, but she is a very powerful card and a very fun deck to build around as well. So Glissa the Traitor reads, she's black, green, green for a 3/3 zombie elf. And she has First Strike and Death Touch. And whenever a creature an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand.
So she recurs artifacts when one of your opponent's creatures dies?
Dies, yeah. Whenever a creature in the opponent controls dies, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. Pretty good. Because artifacts in general are one of the things that I think get hated out the most at tables. If it's like one of the Swords of Feast and Famines or even just Swiftfoot Boots, sometimes people are like, we need to get rid of that, otherwise this general is going to just dominate everyone. So Glissa allows you to return any artifact from your graveyard to your hand whenever any creature in opponent controls dies, not even non-token creatures, which is pretty good because that's going to happen a lot, and you're going to have a lot of targets in your deck, hopefully, if you build around Glissa to put those artifacts back into your hand. So she's pretty powerful, I think. She's also a three mana 3/3, which is pretty good just because you can get it out in turn three. And First Strike Death Touch, like we talked about in our first Deck Doctor episode, is powerful.
Makes her almost impossible to block.
Yeah, exactly. But you're not really looking to kill people with Glissa in this deck, right, Craig?
No, what I usually use her for is to either block creatures coming in so that their creature dies because of the first strike death touch, mm-hmm. or to attack into them. They either have to block or they end up taking the damage with some sort of, you know, equipment added on or something like that.
Well, and an Infect deck, if they know it, it's really, really sketchy to let anything through ever.
Especially with, you know, cards like Tainted Strike with her, you know, you can attack with her and then give her +1/+0 an Infect if they don't block, which is, you know, an extra 4 Infect.
And there's other ways to pump. I mean, yeah, anytime you're playing an Infect deck, the thing is you never want to let a single creature through because that one hit can kill you so many, you know, has mm-hmm. just the chance to do that so much more than your average deck. So I can see how, like, you force them to block with something, you kill it, now you get an artifact back. But they can't afford to just not block her.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we should mention very quickly what Infect is. Infect is an alternative way of damaging someone, and it's essentially poison. You're trying to kill someone via a separate means. So you can kill someone with 21 commander damage by taking their life from 40 to 0, or by giving them 10 Infect counters. And if a creature is a 1/1 and has Infect, and if you swing at someone and they don't block, they don't take one damage, they take one Infect counter. If you get that to 10, they shrivel and they turn green and they die.
Yeah, Infect actually reads, this creature deals damage in the form of -1/-1 counters and to players in the form of poison counters.
Correct. Yeah. So if it's a creature blocks it and it's a 2/2 and it's a 1/1, it'll get a -1/-1 counter on and turn it into a 1/1.
Yeah.
So
it's super powerful in EDH because the 10 poison counters stayed at 10. So what happened is the life total doubled. They added commander damage, and then poison counters actually stayed the same. So it's twice as powerful in commander as it kind of quote unquote should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's very scary. And that's why Craig says you often get teamed up on as soon as people realize you're playing Infect, just because it's so scary to the table.
Yeah, and I think the reason that they kept it at 10 is because it's not one-on-one. You still have to, if you're going to win the game, you need to be able to get rid of everyone. And Infect is a very linear strategy, so getting someone to 10 Infect counters is maybe easy to do one person, maybe two, but by the time everyone realizes what you're doing, it may be way too late already for the Infect deck to get out ahead far enough.
And I think Infect really has like one real main negative, which is the creatures are typically very small. That's one of
Infect's... sort of how they balanced it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of their, you know, their biggest downfalls is that, you know, if somebody has a huge creature, your Infect deck is now much, much less effective because now you have to pump and then give it trample and whatnot. But the two main advantages are, you know, something that they revisited in Modern Masters 2 now, which is proliferate. As you mentioned earlier, those Infect are dealt to players in the form of counters. Mm-hmm. So the proliferate actually can act to give each player an extra Infect counter. And the other advantage is that they haven't had a way, other than one legendary creature, for you to prevent Infect damage or to especially take Infect damage away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's once it's there, it's there.
And proliferate is actually a really strong way because it's not it gets around the need to attack them. So it's sort of like what we'd call reach, not reach like blocking flying creatures, but just the ability to reach out and do damage directly. Well, you can reach out and put poison counters on directly. So yeah, proliferate actually a very scary thing once you have a few poison counters because you can't really do much to stop it.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially with cards like Contagion Engine where it's inactivated ability, you know, and then obviously there's instants and things of that nature that give proliferate as well.
Yeah, so definitely a fun one, right, Craig?
I think so.
It's fun and it is also very scary. I think Infect is one of the scariest things to face down at the table. Even if you know they're not going to win the game, if you're the person they target first and you're not able to establish a board quick enough against their small guys that are 1/1s, 2/1s, and they do instant speed tricks, you could be out of the game by turn 3 or 4 without realizing it. Well, you'll definitely realize it, actually.
Well, I feel like every time we've played against many Infect decks because Craig is in our playgroup, and every time you're against one of these decks, there's almost always a point where if it's just like, well, if he decides to attack me, I'm gonna die. So there's not a lot I can do about it. There's always points where it's like, well, he can take me out, but he might choose to take out one of the other guys. So there, you know, there's it's just a very powerful deck in that regard.
Yeah.
Although a lot of times it's like he can take me out, and then I don't know how he's gonna finish everybody else off.
Right.
But it is very, very powerful.
Yeah. So we're gonna go through the key parts of this deck, and in general, though, I think Infect is one of the hardest things to play in Commander because of what we're talking about. It is good against 1v1. It's good in 1v1, and it's not good against the table because
I think 3-player, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, I think 3 is the max for its. But after
once
that
you get
point,
to 4, you
got to
be pretty cagey about how you play it. I think in order to come
very
out victorious.
Very cagey,
yeah.
And there's only certain generals that'll really take care of 4 players, which I don't think this is one of them.
Yeah, not to mention, this is the easiest thing to politic against. I mean, if you're like, hey, you guys want to kill the Infect guy? Everyone, like, hands up, boom! Not very hard to convince many people to do that. So let's start by talking about some cards under the category of pushing through. So I call it pushing through because pushing through damage / Infect counters is one of the ways that this deck wins and also is one of the ways that it beats other decks that might have defenders early or have a bunch of things that just get in the way of the creatures. So one of the premier cards in this deck that I actually put in a few decks of my own is Spinebiter. And this card by itself is a win condition in a lot of ways. It's 4/2 green for a creature beast. It has Infect, so it deals damage to creatures in the form of -1/-1 counters and to players in the form of poison counters. And you may have Spinebiter assign its combat damage as though it weren't blocked. So this guy attacks, and no matter what happens, no matter how many creatures you put in front of him, he's guaranteed going to put minimum 3 poison counters on a person. And that is a third of everything they need to die, essentially.
Yep, and any sort of pump or anything else, or you equip it before you do that, it's very easy for this to come down. You untap with it, and then somebody just dies, and there's not a lot they can do about it. Only things like Maze of Ith.
Yeah.
Or kill spells, obviously.
Yeah, this is great in Rafik. This is where I was first introduced to this card because it can just, with Exalted and Double Strike, get to 10 and just one-shot someone, which is terrifying. The next card is Reaper of Shieldred.
Yeah, I'll read it. It's 4 and a black for a 2/5 creature horror has infect. It says whenever a source deals damage to Reaper of Shieldred, that source's controller gets a poison counter. So
you never
even if you block it,
you still get a poison counter.
So you attack with it. If they block it, they get two, or they get one. If they don't block it, they get two. So damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. And it's definitely one of those cards that just gets in. 2/5 is also, it's a pretty decent body. It's
tough to block and kill it.
It's tough to block and kill it, and the 5 toughness really does matter here. And there aren't too many infect cards that have like a high toughness. Usually their power is 2 or less, right? 3 or less. Unless the card costs a lot, then it gets a little higher. Craig, you want to read the next one?
Yeah, the next one's one of my favorite, and it's Phyrexian Swarm Lord. It's 4 and 2 green for an infect horror or an insect horror. It's a 4/4.
May as well be an infect horror.
It might as well.
They're all infect horrors.
Yeah.
It's a 4/4 infect, and it says at the beginning of your upkeep, put a 1/1 green insect creature with infect into the battlefield for each poison counter your opponents have. So especially late game, I mean, one of the big things with this deck or with any infect deck is how many creatures do you have? Because you typically have a lot of pump spells.
Mm-hmm.
So the more creatures you have to attack, the more options you have for one of them to get through, and then you pump it. And, you know, you typically
then they
deal
die.
Exactly.
Yeah, they 4 die.
Up to, you know, 8, depending on which pump spell you use.
Let me just talk about how seamlessly you said insect creature with infect. Insect with infect. Insect with infect. That's actually kind of hard to say.
It is hard. Next up, we got a zombie knight with infect. It's the Phyrexian Crusader from Mirrodin Besieged. So this is the dark brother to the Mirrodin Crusader. It's a first strike protection from red and from white, 2/2 for 1 and 2 black, and it has infect. So this thing is on the table, probably going to get in somewhere. It's a very versatile creature. It's you can't path to exile it. You can't burn it out. It's very tough to get rid of something like this. And this is definitely one of those creatures that if you equip and go against the right person, they may have just no option of blocking it ever.
I just want to point out another advantage to this card. The first strike. First strike is one of the best advantages in infect because the fact that it does damage in the form of -1/-1 counters, with the first strike, it deals its damage, reduces the power and toughness of the creature that's blocking or it's blocking,
mm-hmm.
and by the time that creature deals its damage, your infect creature might actually be able to stay alive.
Yeah, if it's a 3/3, it turns into a 1/1, and then it doesn't kill the Crusader.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if it's a 2/2, it just dies before it even hits him.
Right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, very, very powerful. What's the next one? Ikorrats.
Oh, yes. So the Ikorrats is 1 and 2 black for a 2/1 with infect, and it's a creature rat, and when the Ikorrats enter the battlefield, each player gets a poison counter. It seems innocuous, but how
with
many times...
Proliferate, too. That's really here, crazy powerful, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how many times has someone been at, like, 8 or 9 infect, and it's like, oh, gosh, I just can't take one more hit. I'm going to put a couple of creatures out. I'm good. I'm safe. Ikorrats, Spinebiter, any of those creatures... The ability to push through and add poison counters is where infect wins. It's being able to do it because combat, it's really easy to figure out how to combat this, right? Put blockers in the way of infect creatures, and they're all 2/1s. They're all 3/2s. They're going to die in combat. But cards like Ikorrats, cards like Spinebiter get around all that, and that's how they really push through the damage and get the win.
Ikorrats even gets around removal spells. So
yeah,
you have to counter it. Otherwise, you're getting the one poison counter. And, mm-hmm. and with Proliferate, if giving everybody a poison counter is so powerful.
Bouncing something like this would be really mean.
Yeah,
flickering
it,
you
flickering
know?
It is a legitimate strategy to victory, yeah. The next one is Hand of the Praetors. It has infect. It's a 3/2 for 3 and a black. It's an infect lord. It says other creatures you control with infect get +1/+1. Whenever you cast a creature spell with infect, target player gets a poison counter.
That's absurd.
Again, it's just reach. It's poison with reach.
Yeah. So
super
if you
scary.
Played Ikorrats and everyone gets one and one person gets 2 counters.
Yep.
So that's very, very good.
And your rats are bigger because they get
+1/+1.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They're doing
so
more
then
damage in
when
combat.
They hit, they give more poison counters. Like this just snowballs on you really fast.
Yeah.
The battle tricks and infect like that are built in are. I think that might be why I actually got into it.
Oh, for the instant speed combat tricks?
Well, just the combat tricks, like we're talking about Ikor Rats, you know, when it comes in, it deals, poison counter to everybody with Hand of the Pre-Editors. You know, every time you cast an infect creature, you get to choose somebody. And then with Proliferate, just the amount of infect counters that you can give to somebody. And those battle tricks that are different from, typical Magic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the reason I like Infect is that it does kind of play with Magic the Gathering in a way that you don't normally see, and that kind of is the spirit of EDH, is to play decks that mess around with the game itself, sort of toy with the what's possible and what's not, and Infect is definitely one of those it's definitely one of those ways to do that.
Some people are throwing up in their mouth when you say it's the spirit of EDH. But
yeah, no, right? Whatever, win however you can. That's right. You know, as long as you're having fun, then you know what, I'm okay with it.
Let's talk about the next category, which we've labeled Utility Infect. So The first creature in this category is the Rot Wolf. It's 2 and a green. It's a 2/2 wolf creature with infect, if you're sensing a theme here. Whenever a creature dealt damage by Rot Wolf this turn is put into a graveyard, you get to draw a card.
Yep. Basically, this says, don't block me.
Which sucks because it has infect, so you have to block it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing people learn really quickly when they play against Infect. You cannot afford to let any of them hit you ever. So you just block. And then it's like, fine, then I'll just draw cards.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not, I mean, it's dirty. The fact that this deck does have the ability to draw cards and just keep it going. Because there's one thing that, because this deck relies a lot on combat tricks, which we'll talk about later, card draw is especially important because a lot of your combat tricks aren't going to replace the card that you just played. So any way you can draw cards off of your infect cards, the better. So it's a great creature because it has the ability just to attack as a 2/2 and the upside that people just don't want to block it in general.
I just want to point out, like you said, one of the advantages in infect is, or in any deck, is being able to draw cards. And one of the advantages of this general and this deck specifically is the ability to draw cards through when your opponent's creatures die. If you have any creatures, like Plague Mirror, Phyrexian Juggernaut, Pestilent Soul Leader, Core Prowler, any one of those infect artifact creatures, you can now essentially draw those cards out of your graveyard to then stack
with
up.
With Glissa.
Yeah.
Do you want to read Plague Mirror?
Sure. Plague Mirror is a 1/1 for 2. It's an artifact creature, a mirror. It has infect, and tap it, add one colorless to your mana pool.
Pretty simple. So,
we're always talking about every deck needs card draw and mana ramp. And then we're always saying, but we want those cards that are doing those things to fit within the synergy of what our deck's doing. So Here we just said, there's a Rot Wolf and a Plague Mirror. One's card draw, one's mana ramp. Both have infect. These are perfect cards. Those are the type of cards, whatever deck you're building, it's like my ramp card also does the main theme of my deck. My card draw card also does the main theme of my deck. So it can draw me cards or can put poison counters on the guy. These are cards you should be looking for when you're building any kind of deck that fit into that slot. So very cool.
I think black-green is one of the only two color combinations that's viable in Infect. Because of the limited amount of creatures that they made in each color of infect.
Yeah.
Black,
it's hard
green,
to fill out a 99 card singleton deck
exactly.
Otherwise.
And black green is, the most of both colors. I think it's green primarily infect, followed by black, and then I believe white is then the next, and then blue, and then red.
Yeah. Next, we have Corpse Cur, which is a 4-drop artifact creature hound. It has infect, and when it enters the battlefield, you may return target creature card with infect from your graveyard to your hand. So it's your version of the Eternal Witness in this deck. It's a Gravedigger, yeah, and it's going to pretty much get back every single creature that you're putting into the graveyard. And the thing is with this deck, too, a lot of creatures do die early because they need to get removed one way or the other through blocking or whatever. So cards like Corpse Cur are very important. Not to mention that when this guy dies, Glissa gets to put him back into your hand.
And you play him. Exactly. Yep, then you play him again, get something else.
Corpse Cur and Glissa is an engine in and of itself.
Yep, very cool. Next section.
Artifacts matter. So artifacts are definitely the key to this deck, thanks to Glissa being able to return them to your hand. One card that I didn't actually put on here that we should definitely talk about is the Phyrexian Juggernaut. This is like the granddaddy of infect artifact creatures, right? Are there any that are just bigger than this outside of Blightsteel Colossus?
Outside of Blightsteel, he's the biggest.
Yeah. So Phyrexian Juggernaut is a 6 drop. That's a 5/5 and attacks each turn if able, as most Juggernauts do, and it just has infect. So it's a 5/5 giant smasher beater. And because it's an artifact creature, it is able to be returned to your hand thanks to Kalissa. So if you get that guy down, he has haste, and you're able to cast him every turn, it's going to be really hard for your opponents to get out from under that.
That guy needs to go in the Xenagos deck, by the way.
Oh, that would be really good.
Infectagos deck.
Infectagos.
He just kills you.
Yeah, Infectagos is definitely a very viable. That commander is probably one of the best for Infect now that I think about it.
Okay, Artifacts Matter. Contagion Clasp is our first card. It says, it's a 2-drop artifact. It says, when Contagion Clasp enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. Then you can pay 4 and tap the Contagion Clasp to proliferate.
So proliferate says you choose any number of permanents and or players with counters on them, then give each another counter of a kind already there. So you're essentially increasing, for Contagion Clasp specifically, it's thinking like, okay, you just put a -1/-1 counter on their target creature. When you proliferate, you're going to put another one on that creature. But in this deck, you're essentially putting another poison counter or infect counter on anyone that already has one there. So it's a way for this deck to kill you without ever having to actually attack you more than a few times.
Yeah, once it's hit you, and you've got some poison, if you manage to get enough blockers up, the Contagion Clasp can still just get you.
Yeah, exactly. So Contagion Clasp is one of the Proliferate Matters cards that's also an artifact. There's also Contagion Engine. Are you guys seeing a pattern here? Which is a 6-drop artifact. When it enters the battlefield, you get to put a -1/-1 counter on each creature target player controls. And for 4, you get to tap it and proliferate, then proliferate again. So if someone's at 1 poison counter, you can take them up to 3. Pretty insane. You being
and
able
take
to do
out
this,
all of their creatures yeah. rather swiftly.
Yeah, exactly. So Contagion Engine is the sort of like the brood mother of Contagion Clasp. Contagion Clasp like goes to Contagion Engine and goes like, hey, how'd I do today? And Engine's like, I don't know. I proliferated twice every time I did it. How about you?
And the crazy thing is that proliferate can also work on planeswalkers. So you
right.
know, Contagion Engine and Contagion Clasp, not just good in infect. Also very good if you run a lot of planeswalkers.
Yeah. And also, not to mention the engine, it's kind of doing what Elesh Norn does, if you think about it, when it hits the battlefield. It does a -1/-1 counter to each creature certain player controls, and then when you do it again, you are giving them all -3/-3. It's really dirty.
And they stay there. That's the best. And, you know, with cards like Necroskitter, which I did not put in this deck just because I don't have another one right now, you know, now if their creatures die with -1/-1 counters on them, now they come into the battlefield under your control.
Yeah, you get them. That's yeah. actually
two,
in Modern
for
Masters
two black
2015,
and one
dude.
White or yeah. one colorless. That's unbelievable.
You might open
it. It's in MM2015. You can get another one. They're yep. going to go way down in price.
Sweet.
Not that they were expensive.
Yeah, right.
The next card is in the Artifacts Matter is Throne of Geth. It's an artifact. It's a 2-drop. It just says tap it, sacrifice an artifact, proliferate.
Gotta love that proliferation.
Yeah, this is great for end of the battlefield or end of turn tricks right before your turn. You can sacrifice a creature, especially or right before you destroy somebody else's creature. Mm-hmm. You tap, sacrifice, you know,
an innocuous artifact. Plus it brings it back, play it again, do it
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Dolmen Gate. It's a 2-drop artifact. This actually goes well in a lot of EDH decks. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to attacking creatures you control. So what's this do in this deck, Craig?
I mean, you can now attack with everything and, you know, you have no worries about any of your creatures dying, but they still deal damage to your opponent's creatures. So it kind of just gives you a way of attacking without consequences.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the Deck Doctors episode a little while ago, the Alesha one. A lot of times when you have a lot of smaller creatures, like two large creatures will just stop you in your tracks.
Yeah.
Dolmen Gate allows you to continue to push through damage because it doesn't matter. They're not just going to eat the two creatures that they block. They're just going to bounce off each other and you'll still have them. So
pretty good.
Yeah. So when you know that you're going to be running into that situation, that's the type of card you need.
Especially if you have a lot of creatures and then you have, you know, a few pump spells in your hand, you know that if one or two of them get through, you can finish them off.
Right.
And now they're two huge creatures are doesn't matter because they're dead.
They don't do anything. Yeah. The next one is Power Matrix.
Enter the Matrix.
I like anything with the name Matrix in it. It's a 4-drop artifact. It says, Tap it, target creature gets +1/+1 and gains flying, first strike, and trample until end of turn.
This is my favorite pet card.
Flurstample.
This is everything Infect wants to be. It's free to do. All you have to do is tap it. There's no tap one mana and tap it. Tap two mana and tap it. It comes into play for 4. You can tap it immediately. Gives your Infect creature everything that it needs.
Yeah, more. It hits harder. It does first strike. It flies and has trample. So
it has evasion. Gets over once, you know, if they block. Gives it a little bit of boost. And the first strike is unbelievable.
Yeah, the evasion of flying is actually really important because, I mean, I find that this deck usually just goes at the person that can't block it the best. And if you have just a little bit extra with flying, or it's like something like Trailblazer's Boots, which is an artifact equipment that you equip for 2, and it's just equipped creature has non-basic land walk. So it can't be blocked as long as defending player controls a non-basic land. And this is EDH. Everyone is running non-basic lands, which means that you're making a creature essentially unblockable pretty much for the entire table. I mean, unless you're going against a mono-colored deck. But even then,
mono-colored decks have mostly...
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly,
there are just so many utility creatures out there, or utility lands out there, that Trailblazer Boots. I think this is actually one of the... This could be one of the cards that are... You know, we could talk about in a future episode just about... No one really expects how good this card is, but it is excellent. Especially in decks that want it. All right. So,
the next section is my favorite.
Yeah.
Because we never talk about stuff like this.
Yeah. Combat tricks.
Yeah. It's just very underutilized in EDH. Very few decks want them. Infect decks are classic for wanting this type of effect because you don't, usually it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Usually an extra 3 or 4 damage for a giant growth type spell, it just isn't enough to do what you need it to do. But in Infect, when you have to do only 10 damage to somebody to kill them, then a pump spell can be like, you know, take, instead of killing them in 3 turns, you kill them in 1 turn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So super powerful. I guess the first one I'll read is Vines of Vastwood, also from Modern Masters 2015.
Yep.
It says pay 1 green and it has a kicker of a green. So you may pay an additional green as you cast this spell. Target creature can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control this turn. If Vines of Vastwood was kicked, that creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. So you can sort of counter a removal spell and simultaneously give it like a super giant growth for 2 green.
Yeah, which is really good. And there's a reason that this is played in Modern as well for the Infect decks. That's why it was reprinted in Modern Masters as well. It's great for even just for 1 green. It's just to protect your creature from a spell. And if you're using it in combat, or if you're swinging at someone and they're like, all right, instant speed removal after you declare it as an attacker, Vines of Vastwood gets it in for a ton more. And +4/+4, I mean, if a creature's a 1/1, that's half the damage needed to kill someone with Infect. So,
well, and it, this type of spell makes it really dangerous to do things like, oh, I'll tap out because I know of a Swords to Plowshares, and if he comes at me with it, then I'll use that. Mm-hmm. It makes it really scary to do those type of things. And so what happens is they can't really crack back on you or tap out because they're scared of stuff like this. Yeah. So, yeah.
Pretty good. Next up, we have Stonewood Invocation. Do you want to read that one, Craig?
Yeah, similar type of tactic. It has a split second. Let me go back. It's Stonewood Invocation is 3 colorless and 1 green for an instant. This instant has split second, which means that as you cast this spell, as it enters the stack, players can't play spells or activated abilities that aren't mana abilities.
So it's pretty much uncounterable is what it's saying. It says once it hits the stack, it's reached the top. Nothing else can go on top of that. You can't play another spell in response unless it's like you're tapping a Soul Ring for mana or something.
But even then, you can't use that mana yet until this resolves. Yeah.
So split second, and target creature gets +5/+5 until end of turn and can't be the target of spells or abilities this turn.
So it gains Shroud and gets +5/+5. This cancels the stack, essentially. It's a very powerful card.
It doesn't cancel the stack. All the stuff would still happen, but yes, it makes it so that you can't preempt it.
Right.
So once you cast that, that's going to resolve. Mm-hmm. And then you can start doing stuff again on the stack. So you're going to protect that creature. They're not going to be able to target it with something else.
Right.
Like a lot of times
what happens... You can't target the spell either. You can't counter it.
Right. What happens with Vines of Vastwood sometimes, not often, but they could go, I Swords to Plowshare your creature. You say, I Vines of Vastwood it. Okay, I Path to Exile it. And so now that Path to Exile is going to resolve before the Vines of Vastwood did. Mm-hmm. That can't happen with Split Second.
Right. which is really powerful.
Super powerful. Yeah. And it gives +5/+5. So a lot of times it's like, oh, you can't kill that creature, you die.
Yeah. Which is why this next card is real great. It's from a recent set and has become an all-star, I think, across a lot of formats.
Oh, because it has Delve.
Yeah. Delve, Convoke, anything that lets you cheat mana cost, I'm telling you.
Most powerful thing you can do.
Most powerful thing you can do, yeah. Become Immense, 5 in the green, Delve. So each card you exile from your graveyard while casting the spell pays for 1 colorless. So if you have 5 cards in your graveyard, you can exile all 5 of them and pay this for just 1 green. Target creature gets +6/+6 till end of turn. It's the best giant growth you can get, especially in the format like EDH, because you know your graveyard's going to get filled up, especially in a deck like this where your creatures are going to be hitting the graveyard constantly if people are trying to aggressively block them.
It's just awesome. Yeah, it's just awesome. It's I'd say every time you resolve this and you connect, they just die, right? I mean, that's six poison counters.
I honestly haven't had the chance to play it.
Really? Well, I hope you never do.
I do anticipate there are going to be, you know, especially because of EDH as opposed to Modern. So I do actually play that in my Modern Infect deck, and I have played that a few times against Kessler. And in Modern, you are typically ditching more cards than you are in EDH, especially in
fetch lands and all that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's a tougher fit for EDH, believe it or not. Even though it would make sense that EDH, you're building up your graveyard fast. In this deck, you typically want to dig out of your graveyard.
But in EDH, you also more likely to get to the point where you just
can actually cast it. Yeah. I think that's actually going to happen more often than not with this card. You know, maybe it'll cost 4 instead of 6, but
The fact that it can cost 1 in the best case and otherwise is just 7 mana for a +6/+6 isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's absolutely a late game bomb. It's just first right off the bat. I don't know if I'd want to keep this in my opening hand.
Right. All right, let's finally talk about some cards you might not think of. Generally, my favorite part of any deck tech is doing this because
mine too.
These are always the fun hidden gems of the deck. The first up is Invigorate. I love this card. 2 and a green for an instant. If you control a forest, rather than paying Invigorate's mana cost, you may have an opponent gain 3 life, any opponent. Target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn.
Well, it's funny because I don't care how much life you have.
Yeah.
How many poison counters do you have?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is a 0-cost instant.
Yep.
Pact of Negation, Slaughter Pact. All these cards are incredibly powerful. Force of Will, because they cost 0 and they can come out of nowhere and surprise an opponent.
And the best thing about this one is you don't have to ditch anything out of your hand. It's just all you have to have is a forest, and now it's free.
Yeah.
What a great card in this deck.
Pretty good.
Yep. The next one is Caress of Phyrexia. It's 3 and 2 black for a sorcery. It says, target player draws 3 cards, loses 3 life, and gets 3 poison counters.
Oh, jeez.
What a great card, because it's so versatile. If somebody is about to die, you just put 3 poison counters on them and kill them.
But it's such a great finisher.
Yeah. But sometimes you just draw 3 cards, and you don't care if you're taking poison counters because you're in no danger of going to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you just use it as a card draw spell. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I really like that a bunch. And the last one that I put up here is the one and only Profane Command. Craig, you want to read this card? This card has a lot of text, so I apologize.
You know, people were saying that Modern Masters 2015 did not have a lot of Infect in it, and they were surprised.
Yeah.
But we've talked about a whole bunch of cards that fit in this deck that are from Modern Masters 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. And Profane Command, I think, is the one of the best commands outside of Cryptic. And both of them were printed in Modern Masters 2015, which is great.
Yeah, and Profane Command works perfect with Infect. It's X and 2 black for a sorcery. Choose 2. Target player loses X life, or return target creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, or target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, or up to X target creatures gain fear until end of turn, meaning that they can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and or black creatures.
That last one is the one.
Yeah. I mean, even the target creature gets -X/-X. It's like, hey, I have 1 blocker for your 1 guy. It's like, don't care. He's dead.
Yeah. Or I kill that other guy that he's got, and I give my dude fear and kill you anyway.
Yeah.
I give 12 of my guys fear.
The fear, and for me, the getting 1 creature out of your graveyard is typically incredibly powerful in this deck. Because, you know, if it's Ikarats, and now you do another infect to everybody, or Scytherix. It comes in, you pay an extra black, and now it has haste. Or, you know, Phyrexian Swarmlord. So now you can, you know.
Putrefax, even.
Putrefax. There's a lot of options for Profane Command for digging a creature out of your graveyard.
Yeah. We should probably mention Scytherix. He was part of our Dragon Week
celebration. Like, yeah, he was on our banner that we use. He was one of our, I don't know, flagship dragons for Dragon Week.
Yeah.
I'll read him. Skittles, as a lot of people call him. Scytherix the Blight Dragon, 3 and 2 black, 5 mana total for a 4/4 flyer with infect. Has 2 activated abilities. One is pay a black, Scytherix gains haste until end of turn, and the other is pay 2 black, regenerate Scytherix. Yeah, this guy is a meanie. There's whole decks built with him as the commander because he's a legendary creature, Dragon Skeleton. But good in any infect deck or just any deck because of the haste factor. So it's just 4 infect damage you can't see coming.
Yeah, he's the haste option is something that I didn't really explore in this infect deck. It's you know, I have Concordant Crossroads and a few other infect decks. I'm not sure why it's not in this one right now, but
it should probably be in there.
It should be in there because haste is just haste.
I would think Akroma's Memorial is that in there too.
Akroma's Memorial is not in this infect deck. It's in another one just because the 7 mana cost. This infect deck I built to try and
be faster.
Be fast.
Mm-hmm.
And seven mana cost is a little bit high.
Okay, let's talk about ways to combat this deck.
Yeah, there's a few, which is just block everything.
Just have a lot of blockers. I would think token decks are probably in pretty good shape against a deck like this.
Token decks are great. Mono red is actually really good. Any sort of, you know, deal, you know, destroy target creature or this, you know, like cone of the cone that does
a cone
three,
of flame.
Two, cone of flame that does 3, 2, and 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is just a decimator to this deck.
Yeah, because all the creatures are pretty small.
Exactly. But typically people aren't playing
Anger of the Gods.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of that. You're more likely to see Wrath of God.
Exactly.
Toxic Deluge, that kind of stuff can really hose you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this deck, any infect deck is highly dependent on its creatures. And so anything that can deal with those creatures in that sort of way is going to do really well.
Yeah. Also, having a low curve is really important. If you're the first person targeted and let's say your creatures in your hand are all 5 drops, there's a good chance you're going to die before you get those out.
I've died quite a few times to keeping a slow hand. And it's like, Craig decided to come after me first.
Yeah.
I can't get enough things out in time to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I like this one.
Pillow
farts.
It's a prank.
Yeah. Well, it smells bad and the infect guys don't want to come over there. So pillow fort stuff like propaganda, ghostly prison, that kind of stuff that makes you pay mana to attack people. That's just going to dissuade them from initially hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens with an infect deck, and you've talked about this, Craig, before, is like you're like that junkyard dog. It's like once you get your mouth on that, their jaws on that jugular, then, you know, you kind of got to keep hitting the same
guy. And the
guy.
Reason why I, you know, subscribe to that train of thought was because with infect, have to, once you bite somebody with infect, you have to latch on. Like that's the first person to go.
Because it doesn't make any sense to
anybody
hit
who
you
has
for
a
3
weakness.
Infect, hit you for 2 infect, and hit this other guy for 4 infect. And it's like, you could have killed one of them, but all you did is do nothing to any of them.
Here's my first thought when I'm playing infect, who's the weakest?
Right. Yeah.
And they're dead. You know, it's a very, you know,
pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal. It's very survival of the fittest kind
right.
of. But
so one propaganda can mean like that's the turn you're going to attack and you don't have the mana to pay for it. So you attack someone else instead. And then the person with propaganda is basically safe after that, at least until you've killed that first player, because there's no way you're going to start attacking somebody else.
Yeah. Propaganda and, you know, ghostly prison, you know,
that kind of
like
stuff.
That kind of stuff is. I'm not going to pay 2 extra mana to attack you now because I want to save that for my pump. Now I'm just attacking you for 1 instead of potentially 6.
Right. So I might as well go after this other guy.
Right.
Yeah. So it's really important to be not the first person that they latch onto. And cards like that, Maze of Ith can really save you too. Because
Maze of Ith is huge, which is why in a lot of infect decks I run Strip Mine.
Right.
Because Maze of Ith can destroy you in infect.
It can just single-handedly be like, nope,
absolutely.
You can't kill me. Yeah. So you've talked a little bit about how the decks play. you want to talk about politics with decks like this?
Yeah, I mean, politics expects that if you play this, you're going to be the first target. You know, so I would love to, you know, see some of your input, you know, the listeners' input to see what you guys think should go in this, why I put a less, large maybe board next to it. You know, if you have any recommendations for what to switch out for what, I'd love to hear that. Because, you know, it's built for speed. It's built to take out somebody as fast as possible. So, you know, typically if I play something like this, it's, you know, I just want to get a quick game in and then get it over with.
It's good to have these type of decks in, like, a deck like this in your repertoire, because sometimes you're going to sit down and you're going to be playing one-on-one or you're going to be playing three-player, and this is the type of deck that just excels in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Mono red versus an infect deck is a great one-on-one that is actually very, very balanced.
Yeah, a lot of give and take.
Exactly. Mono very red nice. Or mono blue. Typically the best matchups one-on-one for infect. Otherwise, good luck.
Sounds about right. So yeah, that is our first deck tech ever on our first infect deck. Thank you, Craig, for bringing it in.
I feel dirty.
Thanks for having me.
Or I feel poisoned.
Yeah, there are plenty more of these where this guy came from. So we'll have Craig back to talk more about this in the future, I am sure. If you guys have your own spicy version of an infect deck, maybe infect a ghost or whatever, let us know. We'll leave a comment on rocketjump.com or on our YouTube comment section. It'll be fun to see the other deck lists that have this going on, because I think in general, infect is probably the least represented out there in terms of deck archetypes.
I definitely want to look at all of your infect decks. Please put them up, you know, put up lists on Tapped Out or whatever else, whatever other sites that you use. I will definitely look at them.
Oh man, what are we doing? What
Give
are
me
we
more
doing?
Ideas.
You tell me, man.
What are we doing?
Me.
We sold our soul to this show.
Eh, I'm all right with it.
No, I'm cool too. It's all good.
Moving on to the end step. The end step for me this week is a movie I was in. It just got its first premiere screening at the LA Film Festival this week. It's called Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. It's kind of a bizarre name. There's no Dude Bro Party Massacre 2 and 1. The name itself is supposed to be a joke. It's by the guys over at 5 Second Films. If you guys haven't checked out their stuff before, they are super hilarious. They've been doing this for a long time now, and they're at the top of their game. And they have.
You may be familiar with like Brian Frenzy, who plays The Law on VGHS.
Yeah, he's one of the main creators of 5 Second Films. And John Salmon, who is also the director of photography on VGHS, is one of the 5 Second Film guys. So basically a lot of our friends that we work with now, or friends who are from USC or whatever, worked on this movie, and it is incredibly funny. It's the main premise, I'll just give you a short spoiler, is that it's a horror movie that has never been aired since the final airing, which some kid recorded on his VCR. And so it's this really crazy 80s throwback horror movie that spoofs itself, spoofs a lot of other stuff. It's very third wall break or fourth wall breaky, and is just a bunch of fun. It's very silly. It's very crazy, and it's very R-rated. So if you guys have a chance,
Jack
to see
Landis,
it,
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to wait a few years.
Yeah,
to check
sorry,
it out.
Buddy.
Sorry, Jack.
But yeah, I think they're gonna be releasing it on video on demand sometime soon on, you know, iTunes, Netflix, one of those platforms. So I'll be sure to let you guys know when that happens. Otherwise, you can check out the trailers. They're all over the internet, and it's really funny.
What's your role in it, Jimmy?
I just play one of the frat brothers at the Dude Bro.
You play one of the dude bros?
I'm one of the dude bros, yeah.
Nice.
Or I'm someone pledging to be in the frat. I'm not a full dude bro yet.
Oh, you're only a dude, but not yet a bro?
But we all take part in the massacre, so don't worry.
That's. I've heard good things. I haven't seen it yet. But
yeah, it is.
I can only imagine with, you know, everything that they did with 5 Second Films, I can.
The movie
like
is pure insanity. It's very, very funny. So that's my end step for today.
Very cool. Craig, where can we find you on the worldwide interwebs?
You can find me at Craig Blanchett on Twitter, and yeah, that's about it right now.
About it, guys.
Craig Blanchett on Twitter. Also, yeah. Don't forget to check out our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern. Alex and Ben do a great job with that show. You can find them on Twitter at The MMCast.
That's right.
Our editor is Eli Cuevas. Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations on our YouTube videos. You can find him at Living Cards MTG.
Yeah, and that about wraps it up this week, guys. Don't get infected. Stay healthy out there.
Don't get infected. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your
your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.